Buenos dias from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach Spain update from the 2nd of May, 2024. Quick summary of what's going down in Spain. First up this week, Spanish President Pedro Sánchez affirmed his commitment to continue as leader of the Socialist Party, or PSOE. The decision came as a result of a judiciary inquiry into Sánchez's wife, Begoña Gómez, regarding corruption allegations leading to Sánchez's announcement that he might be stepping down last Thursday. After Sánchez announced his decision, a public prosecutor recommended dismissing the case against his wife entirely due to insufficient evidence. After a five-day hiatus from the media on Tuesday the 30th, Sánchez said he reflected on his personal struggles and nearly resigned, ultimately chose to continue his role within the party that he said relied upon him. Let's talk about the judiciary. Sánchez's socialist government, supported by parties Sumar and Podemos, is pushing to reform the organic law of the judiciary to enable the renewal of the General Council of the Judiciary without requiring consensus with the opposition, the Partido Popular, or PP. The battle for a functioning General Council has long been a contentious political topic in Spain. Still, in the aftermath of Sánchez's near resignation, the government is looking to get rid of its biggest blocker by removing PP from the equation. Since the government paused the council in 2018, the system has required a three-fifths or 60% majority in parliament. Similar to the filibuster in the U.S., four appointments to restart the judiciary council. Sumar and Podemos proposed to lower this to 50%, which is an absolute majority, meaning the judiciary council could be restarted at a lower passage threshold without pushback from the PP. Socialists also plan to escalate their response to attacks against this leader and his family by requesting an investigation into a conversation from the 22nd of August, 2014. This conversation involved José Manuel Villarejo, the police commissioner, and Francisco Martínez, the deputy minister of Interior under Mariano Rajoy's administration, discussing the business dealings of the president's wife, father, and uncles. Socialists argue this discussion is part of a decade-long campaign of harassment orchestrated by right and far-right parties to undermine Sánchez and PSOE. Based on last few days, political tit-for-tat might escalate. Moving on this week, the news outlet El País has shed light on a comprehensive series of scams involving a network of over 100 criminals. Scams involve sending text messages pretending to be a relative with a broken phone, leading to requests for money transfers to unknown bank accounts. The swindle relies on emotional manipulation. The network, which operated across various Spanish provinces, targeted at least 238 victims, mainly in Alicante, defrauding them of a total of over 850,000 euros. Guardia Civil's investigation has led to multiple arrests and the discovery of over 500 bank accounts and many phone lines used for the scam. Meanwhile, relatives of individuals buried without consent, often in mass graves, in the Valle of Cuyagamuros, have started visiting the crypts where experts have been working since last June to recover remains. The Valley of Cuyagamuros used to be the Valley of the Fallen, built by former dictator Francisco Franco. Families who had relatives buried in the valley have long wanted to move their loved ones' remains to separate themselves from Franco's dark history. Currently, the remains of 12 victims have been returned to their families, with many more to be expected. These efforts are part of a broader commitment to addressing past injustices through the government's memory law, a commitment to repair the damage of Franco's dictatorship. Turning to Social Security, Elma Saiz, the Minister of Inclusion, Social Security, and Migration, announced that Spain has introduced a new policy allowing students who completed past unpaid internships to claim up to 5 years on their Social Security contributions. It acknowledges the time put in by unpaid internships as qualifying periods for Social Security. Those eligible can now sign a special agreement with the Spanish Social Security Services to recognize these periods, potentially benefiting their future pension entitlements. Applicants must prove the duration of their internships and have 2 years to claim. So far, the initiative has benefited over 570,000 students across the country. This week, Spain introduced new regulations for influencers through a royal decree, aligning them with the standards set for other media platforms like television. This regulation mandates that influencers clearly disclose advertisement deals and apply age-appropriate labeling to their content. The decree specifically targets influencers who meet certain criteria, including earning over 300,000 euros annually and having at least 1 million followers on a single video sharing platform or 2 million across platforms. Influencers in the country must now register in the State Register of Audiovisual Service Providers, where they'll follow advertising norms and protection standards for minors. Spain is the second EU country after France to implement such a regulation for the influencer industry. Now, tech. José Luis Escrivá, Minister of Digital Transition, announced a new government regulation which says that starting in 2025, following on a European Union legislation, all mobile phones sold in Spain, including iPhones, must use a USB Type-C charging port. This regulation also applies to tablets, headphones, portable speakers, cameras, and portable video consoles, with laptops to follow in April 2026. Move aims to create a universal standard charger, simplifying the use of various devices and reducing the accumulation of electronic waste from unused chargers. Additionally, the regulation allows consumers to purchase electronic devices without necessarily buying the new charger, enhancing transparency about charger specifications and making the tech world a whole lot easier and cheaper for consumers. Thank you, European Union. In football news, the government announced last week that they would be creating a special committee to oversee Spanish Football Federation. On Tuesday, the 30th, news outlets announced that Vicente del Bosque, former Spanish national team manager, would spearhead it, missing the opportunity to appoint a female person to spearhead it. This committee follows the arrest of Luis Rubiales, former federation president, on corruption charges, along with his involvement in a separate case of coercion sexual assault related to a non-consensual kiss with player Jenny Hermoso during the 2023 Women's World Cup. The committee's formation also comes as Spain prepares to co-host the 2030 Men's World Cup with Morocco and Portugal. De Bosque boasts a successful club career, leading Spain to European Championship glory in 2012 and a World Cup in 2010, and securing multiple titles with Real Madrid, including two Championship League victories. Up next, a proposed underwater tunnel could connect Spain and Morocco by 2030, coinciding with the World Cup. The tunnel would stretch 17 miles and reach up to 1,550 feet or 470 meters deep, linking Punta Paloma, Spain, and Malapata, Morocco. Government estimates suggest the construction cost could be around 8 billion euros and would transport roughly 12 million passengers and 13 million tons of cargo annually. Project dates back to 1930, but geological challenges hindered plans. It was only recently revised after Morocco launched its high-speed railway, opening the discussion once again to link the European and African continents. European Commission has awarded 720 million euros in subsidies for hydrogen production, predominantly benefiting projects in Spain and Portugal. Funding is part of the first EU-wide auction facilitated by the Union's Hydrogen Bank, which aims to support development of hydrogen economy by offsetting high initial costs. The auction test run had 132 projects competing for funding. Most of the funds were allocated to three Spanish and two Portuguese projects, with a total investment of around 590 million euros. Remaining 126 million went to projects in Finland and Norway. Follow-up auction is planned for later this year as the Commission intends to apply insight from its initial experience. And finally, on Wednesday, the first, a pair of giant pandas, Jinshi and Tsuyu, were transported from Chengdu, China to Madrid, where they will live for the next few years. The pair were met by veterinary and conservation teams and Spain's Nature Protection Service at Madrid Barajas International Airport. Despite the long journey, news outlets reported that the pandas traveled in custom cages equipped with fresh bamboo, ensuring safe and comfortable travel. Jin and Su will undergo a month of health evaluation before being introduced to the public at the Zoo Aquarium in Madrid. This move is part of a 2007 agreement between China and Spain to enhance cooperation in giant panda protection and biodiversity conservation. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. We want you to love these updates even more than you already do, so we've prepared a quick survey that'll take just a few minutes to fill out. You might be tangled in a web of errands, buried in laundry, wondering what on earth show notes even are, but trust us, it's worth it. Your feedback will help us keep the updates coming your way. Hasta la próxima.